Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, hey, hey. We're back. We're black. We're brown. Ambition. Hey, Mandra girl, how you doing?
Hey, girl. Well, now that it's cool to be country, I think I'm just going to bring out. I think Amanda Lee is going to make an appearance on this right here podcast, y'all. Because, y'all, Queen Bee got me wanting to put on my boots and find a cowboy hat that'll fit this head of hair and hit the two-stepping. Is that what you call
it? I don't even know. Girl, you don't know the South.
Poor Usher. Can we just... Poor Usher. Do they have beef? Why would she do that to that man?
I know. Well, I will say, as far as Twitter was concerned, that Twitter, like, Usher had, like 2 million... I guess like impressions or like, you know, like comments, and she had like about 1 million. So people are still giving him his due.
I mean, Spotify, she's like the one, her songs are top of the charts. You expect after the Super Bowl, by the way, Usher, he slayed. Like it was, yes. I loved it. I had so much fun, which is probably why my hip is really tight today. Cause I was getting down with the elder millennials, at the home we were at, but, yeah, he did amazing, but I thought, oh, I'm going to spend Monday morning, like, you know, listening to old Usher. And no, I spent it memorizing the words to 16 Carriages and Texas Hold'em.
What to say? I know. Beyonce was like, sorry, but I'm going to use the Super Bowl, all that attention. Can you imagine? Yeah. They paid her to do a commercial, and she was like, thanks for this $30 million worth of promo.
I mean, there's never nothing done half-assed. I mean, we saw her look at the Grammys. I don't know if you saw, but she had on, like, she's been doing the whole, I mean, obviously there's been a horse, has been the motif of Renaissance and all that. I had forgotten there were supposed to be three acts, act one, act two, whatever.
Oh, so, that's right.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten. But when she came out, and for those, I don't know, were you living under a rock? I mean, it's Wednesday. You guys should be up on it by now. But at the Super Bowl, what happened was it, after the halftime show, I think it was just after the halftime show, maybe just before. Anyway, Verizon ad comes on. It's all about Beyonce talking about, I'm going to break the internet. At the end of it, she's like, drop the new music. They're ready. And literally at the same time, Instagram and X, Twitter start blowing up because she's posted on IG that her new album is coming out March 29th. And not just that, but here's two new tracks. And not just that, but here is the sexiest cowgirl, like artwork, photography you're ever going to see. Like, get your lives together. And, you know, forget about this whole football game. Like, it's
B-day. I will say, whoever is on her team, whatever that NDA says, it must say, we will take your ear, your eye, your tongue. Because nothing ever leaks. Nothing.
Your grandchildren will feel our wrath.
I mean, Beyonce literally remember she did the, what was the one that she wore? It was it the first one. I think it was it Lemonade.
Beyonce. It was self-entitled.
Oh, Beyonce, where she dropped it and all the videos. So you mean to tell me you recorded? She must have one of those, remember like in Men in Black where they had that little thing that erased your memory?
Oh,
because how is it? No extras, no production, nobody says anything. Beyonce.
Not even Gary from Veep.
I mean...
Gary from Veep took me out. I don't know if y'all ever watched Veep. Did you ever, if you're not a TV girl, but Veep was the funniest. And Gary played like the dorky assistant to Julie Louis Dreyfus's vice president character. And the fact that he was next to our Queen Bee, I just want an interview where he talks about how, like, what was that like? And how did Gary from Veep end up in this commercial?
The girl say nothing. A sidebar, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, is that going to be? Oh, you're Wednesday. Right. Mm-hmm.
If you were a little kid, happy Valentine's, you know, because kids are like, happy Valentine's.
Meanwhile, I got an email from Remy's daycare. He's all of 8 months, 8 months old. And they're like, here's the class list if you'd like to send in Valentine's. I'm like, no. Do I get at least another year or two before I have to worry about another one of those? And of course, I got ahead of things. I'm looking to my right because somewhere on this shelf are the Valentine's that I bought for Rio's class maybe a couple months ago. And I'm probably going to forget. I need to like find them because you know how you buy stuff in advance and then you forget where you put it.
Yes. Mm.
It's also my grandpa who has been, he passed away in 2007. He would be 95 on the day we were recording on the 12th. My mom just reminded me. So hi, Papa.
Aww.
Love you in heaven. But did you watch the game though? Actually watch the game?
Girl,
did you watch any of it?
I was grateful to the people. I could not figure out how to watch the Usher show because I was like, who's watching the game? Not me. Because I had just come back from visiting my friend or whatever. and so on the way, so I was tired. You know, I've been traveling.
Honestly, that Usher halftime show would have been a good time before you go visit a friend. I'm just saying. Like,
no, I was
nice little,
the
like, amuse-bouche, little aphrodisiac.
No, I just come back from the weekend. And then, so when I got back, I was like, I'm tired. I thought I was going to go to a Super Bowl party, but I was tired. And I was like, I'll just watch the Usher show. But I could not figure out how to watch it. It was not playing on YouTube. It was not playing. But God bless the people. It was a young woman who set up her phone so I could watch her TV or her laptop. And it was me and 20 other people. Yeah, no, on Instagram. Me and 20 other people just get, I said, you are doing the Lord's work. So I'm just in there like, yes, watching a video of her video, which it was honestly, I'm not gonna lie, it was amazing. Cause like, where am I gonna watch it? I'm missing it.
It was on Paramount, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, child. I was clicking all the things. I don't remember my login to none of my things. I said, you know what?
You were not prepared.
I went on to Instagram and someone said, I got you. She literally was like, yeah. She was so cute because she was like, although I'm excited, I'm going to try to keep my voice down so you guys can hear.
So gem.
A gem of a gem. Aww. So it was just excellent. I just want to thank her. I don't remember her name, but girl, not all heroes wear capes. You know, some of them pirate videos for us to watch. So I'm just happy about that.
Well, it was a little chaotic in the beginning because there was it was like, where's Usher at? He was behind like every performer. Like it was so different to Rihanna's show Rihanna's show because everyone was sort of like monotone. It was the white and then she was red. But with Usher, I'm like, where he at? It's like, there's a peacock over there. It's a showgirl. That guy's doing backflips and this, the camera's going all over the place. But he did the damn thing. And by the time Luda came out, and I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be bouncing my baby on my hip and dancing to Turn Down for What at the same time. My mind was blown. I was like, am I in college right now or am I a mom? Like, I don't. Someone take this baby. He can't be mine. I was just in college. This is crazy. But the nostalgia for the elder millennials was so real. My older sister loved Usher. Like,
yes.
He was everything to her. So we were all we were trying to observe this day for Mallory, my older sister, and just like really respect her feelings and make sure that she got her time to digest.
Well, what did you think about some of the commercials? The Ghana one? Oh my gosh.
I remember, what was the Ghana one? Because I saw it like maybe after it had started and I didn't really know what it was for.
So it looked like basically the NFL was saying, hey, we're going to be having like football camps in Africa. That's what it looked like.
Okay.
And so they was like following this little boy who was like playing football all around like his house, but also to the marketplace, one of the largest marketplaces in Accra, Ghana. And like, you know, everybody basically was like, oh, there he goes, Kwesi, just always playing football. But in his mind, he was like playing against some of the best guys in the league. So they were his imaginary friends, but they were really there, you know? Like up against like, you know, this linebacker, whatever. I don't know the positions. And then afterwards, he like, I guess this dog steals his football and it takes him to this field where he sees people practicing football. Because in Africa, like so many other countries, soccer, aka their football, is the dominant sport. So he realizes, wow, they're playing football. And he's met with this Nigerian football player named Osi, who I'm assuming used to be a famous football player, and says, I know that look. I remember I had that look too. We're here in Africa. I'm interested in American football, and basically says this is a camp to like get kids and boys ready to play. So it was really, and there's so many, it was just beautiful to see. Like I saw Bozema my friend who is an ambassador to Ghana, and so former CMO of Netflix, she was like, how beautiful, how, you know, like literally to hear my language being spoken on the most prominent marketing stage in the world, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I just was just really beautiful. It was just a really beautifully well done commercial. So that came on. Only reason why I saw it is because Homegirl was like about to cut off. And she's like, wait, let's watch this one commercial together.
I was like, girl, really impressed that you wanted, that you were talking about commercials.
It's the only one I saw because
barely
girl,
watched Usher.
Girl,
not you being
girl
like, what do you mean the commercials? So I saw one. Let me go first. Talk about wanting to be the first person to raise your hand in class because like, you read the one chapter.
Exactly. I was like, so in the chapter that I read.
Chapter one, I believe.
Nah. So yeah, so I mean, because I heard that, I mean, I didn't see it, but I heard that the Kanye commercial was ghetto. And he basically
girl,
was like,
I was chasing my children around. I would have just taken them to Abuela's house in retrospect, but I was chasing them around. It was a lot. There's a lot of emotions. I have a pandemic baby, and y'all who have pandemic boys and girls out there, when they get in a crowd, it's hit or miss. It's like either they're going to be stuck to you and you can't do anything without them, or they're going to be flying free. But no, I did. The one that I saw that really like stuck with me was a Dove commercial. Shout out to Dove. They were our partners last year. Will they continue? I don't know. But they did this really, I don't know, what's the word? It was touching, but it was also like really sad. And it was about young girls and how, because of body confidence issues, because young girls don't like the way that they look or they're self-conscious about their bodies, they drop out of sports at such a huge rate. Mm. It was like a 12-year-old cliff or something. Mm. And I think the Dove angle is that they're going to be doing like body confidence. I mean, that's always been their thing, yeah. Is about loving your body. But this picture of this 12-year-old little girl in a swimsuit looking at herself in the mirror, and I'm like, ain't that a damn thing? Like,
I know
it was like, of course I went through that as a kid. I remember, girl, I wasn't swimming, but I was in the marching band. And even I was like, I can't wear shorts to the practice because my legs look, you know, fat or whatever. And it's just, yeah, that made me sad. And I thought it was really poignant. That's the word, poignant, kind of like punch you in the gut kind of commercial. But it's other so than crazy that, I was chasing already- them babies.
So like we're so conscious and like honestly there's so much money that's made out of our self-deprivation and self-consciousness about how we look, you know. It's big business. Like so Amelia, my niece, she's six. The other day she like begged her mom, I want you, she used to say, I want hair like Auntie Etta. So y'all know I have locks. So Amelia has natural hair and her mom puts it like cute little braids and barrettes and stuff. And she's like, oh, I want a hair like Auntie Etta. So her mom would twist it. And she would call it, look, I got Auntie Edo hair. Because Adochi is my African name and they call me Auntie Edo. And so, but then like a month or so ago, she said, mommy, I want straight hair. And she's like, oh, you want your hair like Auntie Edo? She's like, no. So I was like, oh no. She said she wants her hair. Because she asked her mom, how come my hair doesn't fall down? And I remember thinking that.
Oh, baby girl. My little brother asked me that when he was, it's a joke to this day, but it was quite sad.
I know.
Why doesn't my hair go down?
Yes. And then she was just like, because she goes to a school in the North Ward of Newark, which is largely Hispanic. Like, it's about 80% Hispanic, right? So it's great because her accent is perfecto. Okay. Her best friend, Alina, is from DR. And so like, they just, you know, we love that for her. But then I realized that meanwhile, Newark, which is so black, but here, this one school, she's kind of othered, you know? Obviously, not the kids are not telling her. She didn't say anybody made fun of her. She's just observing, looking around and saying, hey, I look different. And she never had a problem before because, you know, it was like the people I'm around, they look like me. My sister, you know, she was begging and begging and begging. So she bought one of these like straightener things, but she hasn't used it yet. And, the other day, my sister like wears her hair in these like really cute twists. And so she did that for her. And she was so nervous to go to school because she thought that the kids would make fun of her. But she came back swinging them twists, honey. Everybody loved it. We were like, woof.
There we go.
Everybody loved it. Alina told her, oh my God, you look just like your mom. And so I said, Alina understood the assignment. We're like, yes, girl. Thank
support.
You. I know. And so we're hoping that, you know, I get it. Because I had straight hair for a little while and then I came back to my natural state. And it's part of like, I wish it wasn't part of kind of like this navigating toward accepting yourself. And, but it was just hard to hear like, how come my hair doesn't go down? Because I remember, because my hair grows out like yours, Manny. It just grows out. Yeah. It doesn't, you know, doesn't fall. And I mean, now as with locks, you know, but Yeah, it just made us say like, oh, how much money is made out of the self-consciousness? Meanwhile, she's six.
Well, I think it's about, there's a curiosity that kids have. And I think our and there's so much pressure on parents to like say the exact right thing. And then the next thing you know, you see on IG, some parenting experts like, if you say this, you're a fucking awful parent. I'm like, well, I just said it yesterday and got him to bed on time. But there's a curiosity that they are going to have about their hair, their skin, their bodies. And I think if we approach it as, you know, your hair is naturally this way, but look at all the amazing things it can do, because it can be straight. It can do all these, and our hair is so versatile. And if there's an appreciation of it as one of the many things that the hair can do, dang it, I don't have a little, I'm not raising girls, I'm raising boys. Rio already says, mama, my hair, my curl's popping.
I love that.
And when I blow my hair out, he doesn't like, he's like, mama, why your hair, why your curl's not popping?
I love that.
He doesn't know what it means. He's just so sincere. But yeah, so I think that's, you know, I think it's totally natural, but I think it's like, it's how we say that. And I have the perfect book for Mimi. Where did that come from? Do you guys call her Mimi?
Yeah, we do, because I call her Mimi, but Mimi. No, we do call her Mimi.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe you said it before. I don't know her that well, but hi, Mimi. But I actually raised a hand to read a book at, I sent you a picture, right, in my little preschool moment. I went to the library, got some books to read for Rio's pre-K class for Black History Month. And one of them that I didn't read, because I checked out four books and his teacher was like, girl, you better pick one. Because one thing these kids are not going to do is do four books. One of them was called Princess Hair. Okay. It was a beautiful book. And it's like, girls with kinks love to think. And girls, maybe I shouldn't have started with that example because it sounds weird. Girls with curls like to twirl. And it's like all the different natural hairstyles.
I love that.
And like a celebration of all those different ways our hair can look. And there's like, if you, the way that I went to the library and I sat down, and the librarian, she was a white woman, but I sat down, told her what I was looking for. And I just sat there at my little table in the kiddie section reading books. And she just kept bringing me over like a waitress, like, here's more, here's more. There's so many great books with like so much representation of skin colors and hair textures. And, you know, I think if we are like really intentional about it, this generation, these kids' generation is going to grow up so much more loving themselves. I hope anyway.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, like I said, she's got her like these faux locks twist things that's super cute that her mom does for herself. And she's loving them. I mean, like swinging them. I'm like, okay. So, and to your point, if she wants to get it straightened, we can certainly do that temporarily. Just like, this is just another style, not better, not worse, just another way that your hair can be.
Just let her learn about humidity after that. And why we just don't mess with poof. It. I'm saying, you can tell the weather by my hair, right? It's going to be humid, y'all. Curls are out.
But yeah, it just goes to show like it's so social media. Sometimes you just need a break because we're all susceptible to, I can't tell you how much stuff I have bought. Oh my gosh. I would say I should do like a spreadsheet of like things I was influenced to buy. I suspect it's at least $1,000 worth of stuff last year.
Instagram is the new mall.
I mean,
it's like window shopping is scrolling on IG.
And
it knows me. I'm just like, yeah, I would like those shoes. You are correct. And yes, last year I did take advantage of this buy one, get one sale. So thanks for bringing me the link back.
And you know what I really love though? I mean, this, I'm so terrible because there might be a store that I know I'm not ready to buy anything now, but I'm like, oh, I like it. So I will click on it just so they know, continue to influence me now.
Oh yeah. Now we know how to work the AI, you know, like we're on the algo. Like I once did that for husband. I got a hold of his phone. And I looked for a lot of relationship content, like how to be a better husband. And I was liking and saving and liking and saving. And he's like, did you touch my phone? Something is wrong with He knew immediately. I'm like, this is not. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's hard for the wallet. It really, really is. Y'all are on watch for like spring break and traveling because now it's a season. Everyone's like booking up. Protect your coins at all costs.
Yeah.
Remember what you value. Remember, I'm a giant hypocrite because I am going to the Dominican Republic for a wedding. And I did spend too much on a dress for the wedding because I, you know.
Did you get the one from Offrey or whatever? You got something different? Or
somebody texted me. So it's been really challenging to find a formal dress for the beach, especially in my size because I'm not like, I need, you know. And what I love about the, what was the place you, Offrey? What's it called?
Offrey, something like Offrey, yeah.
And where, they're Kenyan or where are they?
Yeah, it's an African brand, but I don't know.
African like, brand. Girls,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful clothes. But with my timeline, like I didn't find anything in my size that I like there, but we'll see. But the point is, the internet is just taking our dollars at all times.
They say TikTok literally is like every third or fourth like video or whatever is an ad. Mm-hmm. If not more than
Now even Target is doing a storefront for influencers. You know how on TikTok it's like links are in my Amazon storefront.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know, getting those affiliate dollars, and now Target is rolling it out too. You know, one thing, tie it back to Super Bowl ads, is there was a notable absence from this year's ads was NFT and crypto content. Which was like, yeah, crypto. Wait, they don't have it in the crypto stadium. No, it was in Vegas. But anyway, crypto and NFT ads were all over the place the past couple of Super Bowls. But no, it was crickets from the crypto bros on the marketing team.
They're like, maybe we're going to read the room.
Yeah, maybe people know too much now. What else is there? Anything else buzzing?
Well, I think you and I were chatting like last week how so many businesses, it's like this thing that's like not being said like explicitly, so many businesses, but not just businesses, people, 2023 was a really hard financial year. Why is people not talking about it? Like, I mean, certainly I've seen some people, but there was an article that I read. It was like about how many small businesses actually went out of business in 2023, but I can see it myself. Like people who I follow who've been in business for years went out of business 2023 or have just been expressing how it was like a total shit show. Also I have friends who were looking for jobs 8 months, a year. I'm like, what? And you and I were kind of chatting and maybe we could just chat. So, you know, there doesn't seem, usually when a trend like this happens, you know, you're seeing it on CNN and CNBC and but I feel like there's not this consensus, like there was this really bad financial trend where people were having a really hard time in the business sector, but also in the corporate sector. And here's what we saw happen. I feel like it was kind of mums, the word. It's all this is just kind of like me just observing, like, at first you just think like, wow, I'm having a bad year. Then I talk to one friend and another and another and a sister and a brother. And I'm like, wait. And then I saw like one article on it and I thought, what was that? What was 2023? And why were we all having such a hard time financially?
Well, it's important, I think, just the question to reflect on last year, because you, as a business owner, learning from trends, and it may not be that you made a mistake, but like what you were, your services, your products, like the consumer sentiment was different. Like they weren't ready to spend on that type of service. And I think the risk is like, if you pivot too quickly because something isn't working, then maybe what you had is great for when the cycle, when this dip is over, whenever the, you know, people are not wanting to spend their dollars in this way, they're feeling more frugal, or they're spending so much more money at the grocery store. And it's like, am I going to get bread and eggs, which are really expensive? Or am I going to spend on this? Like, but your services are still good. Maybe your funnel, you know, or the customer journey is still good. But if you scramble, I don't know if you've heard this as well, but like, I know for me, I made some choices in 2023 out of a reaction to like, oh, that's not working anymore. I'm going to change and like try this instead and change the price here and make this free, whereas I used to charge for it. And I don't know that I necessarily had to, but it felt like something that I, you know, I was like, well, I'll just pull this lever here and see what happens. But I didn't, luckily, because I was on maternity leave and in pregnant delirium for a lot of the year and then postpartum delirium, I didn't fiddle too much with my business. And that might have actually helped me, because I almost feel like sometimes, and you know, you've been in this longer than me and you have clearly talked to a lot of people about it, but I feel like in business, sometimes it's almost like treat it like an index fund a little bit. Like once you have the infrastructure set up, sort of like ride the ups and downs, but stay true to what's worked for you, or double down maybe on some core offers rather than like adding new stuff. And I was texting with Mark Russell. Do you know Mark from Better Wallet? He was on the show, but I think it was when you were gone.
Yeah. Well, I know, I don't know him personally, but like I follow him.
He loves you. You're like his idol. But anyway, but Mark and I were texting and I was like, yeah, so how was 2023 for you? I've heard that it's been rough. And he said, actually, I had a great 2023. I got rid of a lot of extra stuff that I had been adding and just focused on my core offer. And he had a really strong year. So, I don't know. That's just what I
Yes. And I'll say this too, like one of the most difficult parts of business is knowing when because, for example, we think of Blockbuster and what their core offer was. When is it time? You know, because it's like, you know, you don't want to pivot too late because there is no business that's doing the exact same thing it was doing 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's like, you know, so I would say, like, for example, maybe the core offer for Blockbuster is we deliver movies, and they needed to pivot to delivering movies in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
And then they waited too long and Netflix was like, wah, wah, nah, nah, boo, boo, you know, gotcha, you know? And so, yeah, that's the part. It was like, I was just talking to someone on my team earlier today, like, I don't want to do bad good. Meaning like there are some offers that we have that I feel like it's, they're expired now. We've been doing it for like 8 years. So it's not a bad product inherently, but it's just not, the audience is just not, this is not where they're wanting. This is not what they're wanting. So it's right, quote unquote bad, but it's like, we're really good at doing it. And I'm just like, yeah, but to what end? You know? And so that's the thing. That's the struggle
too. It's a well-oiled machine.
Yes. And so, you know, because you like, you don't want to get stuck in that, like, that is the struggle of like, you don't want to just be pivoting. Cause I've seen businesses like that. I have come up with people that when I first started the Budgetista, they had one thing that they were doing. And then 2 years in, they did something else. And 2 years in, and I'm still doing the Budgetista financial education. And they're like, I should have stuck with the thing. So to your point,
that's what I was kind of trying to get at. Yeah, exactly. You know? Not that you don't want to try and evolve, but that you sort of trust that it takes time.
Yes.
To be sticky and to.
Yes. And maybe what it is that this is your core thing and you just get different with how you deliver it. So if I'm a financial educator, it's like, oh, there's books. Oh, but there's also courses. Oh, but there's also spokesperson work. Oh, it's also speaking. So I have pivoted in how I deliver the core thing, which is financial education. Yeah. So it's just something else. And the truth is, that's just the nature of business. Like, there's no such thing as we did it, Joe. Like, and you just stay there. Like, even if you had an amazing year, well, the next year is a new year. And it's like, girl, we have different requirements. You have to pivot and change and grow and edit and add. And so that's the thing. Like, sometimes I see people in business and they're like, oh, I must not be good at this. I'm like, no, this is actually what it looks like. It, like, think about like raising kids, right? It's not like, whew, we did it. Wasn't last year great? It's like, Rio's like, still growing. Yeah. So there's more this year. Yeah, I had a good year with me last year. This year is the year that I decide I no longer like vegetables. It's like, wait, what? You still love vegetables? I changed my mind. Why do kids do that, right? You're like, but you loved corn. They're like, that was yesterday. Matter of fact, that was this morning. You're late.
I don't know what screw got put in the wrong place in Rio's whole brain, but he loves broccoli. There's times where I'm begging him, eat the hot dog.
No. Eat it.
Get the protein. Really? He's like, I just want the broccoli.
Oh my gosh.
I can't tell you. I'll take credit for it. But I'm like, I'm listening to myself like, shut up and let him have the broccoli. Like, let him get the nutrients now. But so if you're, whether you're in business, oh, you asked about like the 9 to 5, you know, the job search. Actually, my sister, if she don't mind me putting her business out, she won't. She works in healthcare. I think I've talked about it before. And she works in healthcare for a huge healthcare system in the Midwest. And she has really been struggling because she'll get to like the final round of interviews again and again and again and then lose out and not get picked. And I was ready to like, I was like, give me your manager's phone number because I want to call them. I need to call them up and be like, why are you wasting this talent? Why aren't you guys like recognizing this? What's going on? Because she has everything you want, right? And finally, she got some feedback that I thought was really enlightening. And also, if you're struggling in the job market, it's one thing for my sister because she, you know, it's jobs within her medical system. So she has access to ask people for feedback in a way that some people don't if you've ever really just talked to a recruiter and you're not a part of the company. But nonetheless, asking for that feedback, and if they're generous enough to provide you some, can be insightful and can put you at ease. And for my sister, the feedback was, you know, we had 50 plus candidates, good candidates, qualified on paper candidates for this role. And you made the top three and ultimately went with someone who had been doing this role, which kind of pisses me off because like, how are people going to get a chance? Anyway, went with a safer option of someone who had, you know, the exact experience somewhere else. And I do think the difference is, you know, the job market is like yes. stronger in some ways, but it's more of a balance toward the employer. And especially in these hot, and it was a yes. remote job. It had these bells and whistles. And I'm like, everyone's looking for these yes. juicy opportunities. And I think there's just more folks out there who are qualified. Yes. And in my sister's case, I was like, Mallory, you got to stop banging your head against the wall thinking, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm like, you need an advocate who knows you're good enough yes. and can get you over this experience hurdle, because yes. that is what's holding back. She's not holding herself back, but yes. if you're her manager right now, if you're in a hiring position, I need y'all to listen up. There are people like my sister who have the talent, and no shade to the person who got the job, like kudos to them. But how many people are you missing out on who would be so loyal? Not that loyalty should be celebrated entirely, but when you hire someone, you give them a shot. When you say, I see your potential, mm-hmm. you create such a great like vibe, such a great mentality from that one employee to join your team. Like they're going to be all in. They're going to be so grateful because you took a chance on them. They get to prove themselves and they're going to be stickier. You know, turnover is something you think about as a hiring manager. Mm-hmm. And for me, I would look for people who weren't perfectly on paper the person that I was looking for, but who could get there, who had enough experience and I could tell just needed like a chance, like needed an opportunity, needed someone to say, oh, you can do this. You know, and if we don't have enough leaders thinking that way, then you end up, I feel like, with people who are going to be job hopping mm-hmm. and going from one offer to the next, which is not mm-hmm. bad. But for an employer, you want it people is. Who are going to stick around and grow, you know, and that made me very frustrated for her, but also wanting her to be more, I mean, she already is. She's doing an amazing job, like making sure that her managers know that she's looking and that she's okay. interested in a new opportunity and that she's been really frustrated by what's been happening with these other opportunities kind of slipping through her grasp. And until one of them, which I think she's finally getting through their thick skulls, starts to look at where can we put her or how can we move her to the top? You know, like that's what it's going to take in a lot of cases. So that relationship building becomes a lot more important than necessarily yes. the resume.
That's what I'm hearing more, because I think it was a CNBC article. They said that like they asked like a bunch of hiring managers what's happening. They were like, well, last year or the year before 2022, when we would put out a job, there might be, say, 40 people that apply. And the guy was like a video and the guy's like, now within half an hour, 400 people have applied. Mm. So to your point, you're at least 10 of them are going to be excellent. Mm-hmm. And he said, what they're seeing is the people who are getting the job have an internal advocate, to your point. Like I think about really? My friends okay. most recently, yeah. yeah, my friends most recently who have gotten jobs, someone internally has come in, because I'm looking around. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, there's 400 people, obviously no. But 10 of these people are great. But if one of them has a friend who's excellent, who works here, who says you really should consider such and such, that mm-hmm. makes it easier. Cause they're like, well, you're good. And you're suggesting yeah. them, cause now you're putting your job on the line, you know? Yep. So now you have this internal advocate. So all of my friends recently that have gotten new jobs, there has been an internal advocate or some sort of external advocate that knows somebody internally that mm-hmm. allows them to get over the last hump. So, you know, that's the thing. It really is like, you got to know somebody. And so you really should be, I know, Mandy, you've said this so many times before here on the show, but also to your Mandy Moneymakers, is that like, let people know you're looking. Let mm-hmm. your friends, like let them make the phone call and reach out, and you should get such and yeah. such. She's amazing. So yeah, I know this is advice that you give a lot too.
Brag on yourself. And I'll give it again until I'm blue in the face, because it's still hard. And it's one thing because we're so good at advocating for others. Women, I'm talking about women of color in general, like we love to cheer each other on, but when it comes time for us to need something, it is really hard. I see it every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Two Mandy Moneymakers recently were let go, and mm-hmm. I hopped on a call with them to kind of talk them through the severance agreement and stuff. And one of them was like, you know, should I post it on LinkedIn? Like, should I let people know? She was feeling the shame of it, you know, because she had been, through my coaching, really active on LinkedIn and sharing her wins. And I was like, oh, hell yes, you need to. But you own the story when you post about it. You yes. own the story in terms of, I've been let go, but here's what I've accomplished in the last, you know, 1.5 years that I've been here. And now I'm looking, I can't wait to bring this value to another team. And when I tell you she already has an interview with one of her top companies.
Yes.
I was like, yeah. yes. because someone, yes, because someone saw her post who knew the head of HR. Mm-hmm. She didn't know the head of HR. but someone she knew was connected to them. And so when they posted on her comments and on her post, that HR person, it showed up in their feed. And I'm like, this is why we be out there on the LinkedIn streets, okay? Sharing, and as uncomfortable as it is, vulnerability can pay off in that way.
I love that. Should we take a break so we could do brown boost, brown break? We haven't done one in so long.
Oh, I got to think of something. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back in black for more.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
We're back, and now it's time to boost up, break up, boost up, break up, boost up, break. Are you gonna boost? Are you gonna break? What you gonna do? What you gonna take? I'm going to boost. I'm trying to think what I'm gonna boost. Okay, so I have this opportunity where I get to contract out if you live in the tri-state area, especially New Jersey. I'm going to be doing this like 2-year summer program, all things personal finance for elementary, middle school, and high school. Right. And so okay. I get to hire other financial educators. I love that, you know?
Aww.
And so I'm just like, you know, so I'm actually going to put it out there, you know, go ahead on and contact me. You can slide into my DMs or just email me Tiffany@thebudgetista that I'm so glad that I'm in a space now where I get to pass on opportunities. So if you're a financial educator, if you have a curriculum, it doesn't have to be K through 12, but if you have an elementary school curriculum and then a high school curriculum or middle school, either one of those three or all three altogether. And especially if you are open to teaching that curriculum in person, it would be in New Jersey. Let a sister know because I'm going to be hiring because I got this great opportunity. And I get to bring on a team and I'm like, I don't want to do all the work myself. I much rather slide some coins on to y'all. So that's my boost, that the opportunity to be able to put on other people and just the gratefulness that these things come to me and then I can share them as well. So like I said, if that sounds like you mm-hmm. or somebody you know, go ahead and share. Now, here's the thing. I got to make a choice by the end of the month. So if you're listening to this like 10 years from now, bye, Tuli.
You get an extra day.
Yeah. So I say days February 20, what is it? The 29th? Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Yeah. So February 29th, because I got to make my decision by March 5th. So I'm going to, at the end of the 29th, I'm not taking on any new folks. So if you're interested, email me tiffany@thebudgetnista.com and just tell me, yes, I have a curriculum, or yes, I have a curriculum and I want to teach or whatever. Then we'll see. We'll see. This is Brown Ambition. Everyone is welcome. I'll just say everybody's welcome. Brown Ambition.
We got it. I thought this show was all about just saying the thing. Listen.
I know. But I'm not sure if I'm allowed to.
Color.
Yes. Ideally, because you could be working with children of color.
That sounds like an amazing opportunity too. Yeah. And just like, I don't know. It takes a lot out of you. I spent 20 minutes with like some 4-year-olds reading a book to them, and the energy I really was bringing out my inner Tabitha Brown, and it was a lot of fun, but I needed a nap.
Girl,
after that, my introverted self.
It's not, preschool teacher is not for the faint of heart, child. It's a
if
lot
you're
of fun.
An introverted school teacher for little kids. How does that? And then you got to go home, and his teacher has like 3 kids of her own.
Can you imagine? Mm.
God bless. I went right to her Amazon wish list and I stocked her up. I'm like, let me get you some things to distract them.
Right, because they got a love on their baby, your babies, and a love on their, and they just be loving on them. Because I love my kids. Mm. Like there was nothing I wouldn't give for them. I'm like, oh baby girl, I'm gonna get you that. You want what? And so, but I couldn't even make it all the way home. There used to be a Walmart parking lot where my house is a 40 minute drive home. 20 minutes in, I'm like, can't make it. I used to pull into the parking lot, the secret little spot I used to park, and take a nap, a 30 minute nap to make it the rest. That's how tired.
Yes. I mean, that's just safe driving. You know, it's very responsible. But I see you. And I have been that person in the parking lot at BJ's. I'm not going to tell you all the spot. The trick is, don't go to the back of the parking lot, though, because that's where the weirdos hang out.
Yes.
No, you need to go to the front.
Yes.
I want to do a little boost for the book that I did end up reading in Rio's classroom. It was such a beautiful book. It was called A Computer Called Catherine. Oh. So it's about Catherine Johnson, the mathematician who, you know, the whole movie about her, Taraji P. Henson played her in Hidden Figures. And it's such a lovely book. I'm going to figure out the author. Beautifully illustrated. The story is so cute. Perfect for kids. I was a little stressed about, like, how do I want to go in there and read a story. I don't want to tell them about Black History Month. Like, they're 4 years old. You know, I'm not trying to. But I did talk about how we all have different skin colors, and how sometimes in the past, if you had different skin colors, you'd be treated differently. People didn't want you to go to school. And, you know, I was like, and everyone started holding up their little hands and like, I have peach skin. I have tan skin. I am brown. It was so cute. Rio's like, me.
I saw the picture. I was like, I know. He's like, my mom's at school.
The way he kept trying to interrupt me, I was like, you know, it's like, yes, mom, I know. All right, though. A Computer Called Catherine. It is by Suzanne Slade, with illustrations by Veronica Miller Jameson. Just a beautiful book. So if you're looking for a good, and what I loved is it's about a woman of color. His class is 11 girls, 5 boys. The estrogen is on another level. I don't know if 4-year-olds have that yet, but anyway. So I just loved it. It's a great example of, and you know, a girl who's into math and all that. Let me do a boost for that. Okay. Let me do a boost for, do I go like funny or do I go serious? I'll go serious. So Tiff knows, because I talked to you there today, and I'll try to do it a lot quicker than the winding conversation I trapped Tiffany into last week. But my mindset, I've been working on a new mindset about motherhood and business owner and author. And the very simple way to describe it is, like, I've spent a lot of time, or I find myself kind of getting into like resentful mindsets, like where I resent the lack of time I have.
And I, you know, I feel like time is it's my anxiety, right? Time is constantly chasing me down. I'm trapped between two walls. And, you know, a daytime, like a day for me is after the kids are dropped off at school and when I have to pick them up. And it feels like I'm in Indiana Jones and the walls are kind of, and the clock is ticking and I'm just getting squished and there's not enough time to do all the things I want to do. And I could do so much more if I just had more time, blah, 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 blah. Well, one thing that has really just like clicked for me in the past week has been this space of appreciation and gratitude for the children I have, for the life I have, and for the ability that I have to do the things, like to do the mom stuff, to do the go to Rio school and read to him, and, you know, take Remy a new outfit when he has a blowout diaper and he's run through all of his spare clothes, and to kind of accept and appreciate and just shift from I have to do these things, there's not enough time, to I am able, I get to do these things. And I'm taking that approach not just to the home stuff, but my work life. You know, I was talking to my publisher, Krishan at Hachette. Shout out to Krishan. And I went to their offices and it was so cool to see the office. I mean, 8-year-old me was just singing. I was so happy just to be in that space. And I was like, I don't feel like I have to write this book. I feel like I get to write this book. What a privilege. I get to write this book. I get to spend time creating content that can help people because somehow I get to do this business and I get to do a podcast with you that helps pay the mortgage. You know, like I get to do these things and it sounds real simple, but I feel like I lost that gratitude mindset and I found it again. And I have been totally, my husband's like, what's different? I'm like, I worked on myself. I stopped expecting other people to fix, you know, my struggles and just like change my mindset. And it's really, really working. So if that sounds like you and it sounds like something that you're struggling with, it's frustrating to hear, but sometimes it has to start with you and the way that you were thinking about things and how much that's causing the stress and the anxiety. And I can't wait to tell my therapist about it. She'll probably be so proud.
But when we talk about that perspective is so, because remember I said, told you that when Made Whole came out, I was so stressed. I was so overwhelmed and so I didn't want to do it. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I wanted the workbook to be out there to help people, but I didn't want to market it. And I thought like, oh my God, it's too much. But then when Get Girl Money came out 2 years prior, girl, it was way more. I mean, I did like 80 podcasts. Like every show you can imagine. And I didn't feel overwhelmed. Did I feel like it was a lot of work? But I was having such a good time. Remember, I came up here excited. And I said, what was the difference? It was the perspective. One, Jarrell was still here. I did not realize that when Made Whole came out, he passed away in November 16th. And Made Whole came out November 21st. I didn't give grief enough credit that I didn't realize that I was... That time of year was hard. I was like, what's wrong with you, Tiffany? That like, girl, why did you have this book come out in November? You know, because that doesn't make sense. You know, because I was heavily grieving, but did not know that I was. Because I was like, oh, it's been 2 years. Of course, I know I'm always going to grieve, but I didn't know that grief could have a heavier weight during time of year. I guess I just always felt like you're just always grieving. It's like, no, there are times of year that it's greater than others. So I say all that to say that my perspective was these two books, one that was way more work, didn't feel like work, and one that was way less, felt like too much work because of my perspective. So absolutely, it's the internal work, you know, that it's like how you see and feel a thing is how it shows up for you externally. And knowing that I'm more mindful, like, are there any other trigger days, like our anniversary, his birthday? Like, let me be mindful. Like, girl, like if you're feeling heavy and you're like, I don't know what's wrong, you know, like, oh, this could be the reason. And so I love that you're realizing that like, okay, that this internal work, you know, my perspective will shift how I see and how I navigate the world. And you don't ever want to be right about the wrong thing. You ever see somebody who's like, well, everything just sucks. It's like, well, why would you want to win that battle? That life is terrible. I don't want to win that battle. I don't want to, as Monique.
Yeah, I just didn't like the way it was bad. It was just, you're like dragging yourself down.
Yeah. It's like you argue for your own limitations. That's what this woman told me once. It was a life-changing sentiment. I was going back and forth where I was like, oh, this is not working. The business is not doing so good. And she was like, well, why don't you try this? I was like, no, that's not going to work. why don't you try? Not fucking hard. She said, oh, I get it. I'm not doing this with you. You're arguing for your own limitations. I was like,
that's exactly what I've been doing.
I was like, what?
The house is always dirty. It's just going to be dirty.
Yes.
Like, doesn't matter if I clean it. Now I live in a dirty house and I'm a dirty person and no one,
I mean, and she's like, why would you want to win that war?
Yeah.
So yeah, you win. You're right. Life sucks.
I surrendered.
Like, yes. And so when you realize, I'm like, I don't want to win if I'm arguing for less of a life for myself. Why would I want to win that? And so I'm like, no, we're not doing that, Tiffany. No. So I love that. So I just say all that to say that. Yeah. I love that.
As I mop the floor, I'm like, this might be a little too far. I'm like, I'm so grateful I have a floor.
Yeah.
And look at this house that we bought and let's take some pride in it.
Girl. And also to the fact that I don't think we take for granted the fact that you can walk, you can see, you can hear, you can.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so much that, like, you know, I think about that all the time. I have friends who have trouble walking. You know, I have friends who have trouble seeing. Like, they're like, I'm slowly losing my sight. I have friends who, you know what I mean? And it's just like, wow, we take for granted a thing until that thing is not there.
Can I just say, for the record, I'm really grateful for my left hip because she is very creaky and I need her to last me another like 50 years. And I'm like, baby girl, we like need to work on this. I want to help you.
Well, I will say that if you have knees, so if you have a treadmill, walking backwards helps to actually strengthen your knees because that helped. My knees were creaky. I said,
girl,
no,
everything
sir.
Is weak. My body is. I need to do heavy weight lifting. It is. Yes, I need to.
But jumping rope helps too, you know, with bone density, just so you know.
I did go through a jump rope phase. Right.
Yeah. Remember we did. I love that you said my jumper. I was looking at my jumper the other day. It was looking at me like, girl.
I see it.
Yes. I was like, you know, I told myself, I said, let me get my osteoporosis, anti-osteoporosis on and get my jumper.
Listen, if you want to rock with us into our 40s and 50s, they're going to have a lot of perimenopausal osteoporosis, bone density chatter, and y'all welcome to come along.
Come along. Because as a Tara that Brown calls it, Perry, she said, child, why ain't y'all telling me about Perry? Got me over here sweating, not sleeping through the night.
Love it so much.
No,
but you cross that bridge so that I can follow behind.
I love that she's normalizing. I'm like, oh, is that Perry? I don't know if I'm in Perry. I guess I got to ask my doctor. I don't think so, but you never know. You never
Lord
know.
Have mercy.
But we're going to see you guys on Friday for BAQA. Mm-hmm. We thank you for rocking with us, you know, from single girls out and about to married girls in the house to mamas to Lord
Creaky almost hips, perimenopausal. Elder millennial.
We're going to be the nurse at home like, hey, y'all. Hey, hey, hey. I'm like, wait, what's my name again? What day is it? Where are we?
I want to hear it's time for the VA. QA. Baby, roll my oxygen tank over.
All right, y'all. On Friday. Talk to you later. Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.